From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
God has called us to this place. What do you see? We see people who model for us God's joyous embrace of all people. God has brought us to this place. What do you hear? We hear God's hope that we are able to see each person as our sister or brother. God has challenged us to open our lives and hearts to others. What will you do? We will do only one thing. Welcome everyone in God's name. Great God, we come before you today. We thank you for this day. It is the day that you have made, and we come with joy in our hearts to give you our very best. We ask, O God, that you would open our eyes to see the wonderful things written in your word for us. And we also come now praying the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. O Lord, open our lips.
To the Father and to the
This morning's special music is provided by Mr. Steve English.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home.
Miss Carla Clennon reads this morning's Old Testament lesson.
Our Old Testament lesson comes from 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, "See, the place where we dwell under the charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and each of us get a log there. And let us make a place for us to dwell there." And he answered, "Go." Then one of them said, "Be pleased to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, And when they came to Jordan, they cut down trees. But one was falling, a log, with his axe, and fell off into the water. And he cried out, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Then the man said to God, "Where did it fall?" When he had showed him the place, he cut off the stick and threw it there and made an iron float. He said, "Take it up." So he reached out his hands and took it. Here ends the Old Testament reading.
Listen now to this message from the Reverend Andrew Lovins entitled, Regain Your Edge.
Today I want to focus on our Old Testament lesson a bit, primarily because the Old Testament lesson is probably one that we haven't heard. In fact, in the three-year cycle of the lectionary readings, which in our tradition we usually preach from, this never appears, never comes up in the three-year cycle. So it is a possibility that no one in the room has ever heard a message delivered on this passage from 2 Kings, not just because we usually follow the lectionary and it's not included in the lectionary, but even myself, I don't think that I've ever heard anybody stand up and talk about the axe head that falls into the water. One of the reasons why I think we've never heard it and why I've never heard it is, frankly, it seems rather arbitrary and inconsequential. I mean, imagine going home after church today and you get together with your family and you're having lunch and someone who wasn't at church says, "So, what did you learn at church today?" And you say, "Oh, well, I learned that axe heads can float." Okay. not very inspiring. What is the whole point of that? And yet, what I think we need to understand is that when we come to the Scriptures, we're not reading primarily a scientific text or purely a historical text. But when we come to the Scriptures, we are looking at something that is meant to impact us at the spiritual level. And therefore, we need to put on our spiritual eyeglasses in order to derive from the text what I think God wants us to hear. God, you see, is seeking to bring us into relationship with God's self and to bring harmony among the people of God, the children of God. I think that this text is saying something to us, very profound if we can see it, because I think that we've all lost our edge at some point in our life. We know what it's like to be sharp, to be on top of it, at the top of our game, to be fruitful, and then suddenly because something happens or a process of things happen, we're no longer as sharp as we once were. We're no longer as fruitful as we once were. We all know what it's like to try and try and try, to sow and to sow and to sow, and at the end of it, not reap the kind of harvest that we envisioned that we would reap. We've all been like that student with the axe who's just going to town on the tree, and all of a sudden the axe head flies off the handle. Have you ever flown off the handle? I think that comes from this text. It's a sign that you have lost your spiritual edge, that something is not quite right on the inside. Now, the backdrop of our text is kind of interesting to me. They're building a seminary. And Elisha, the prophet of God, is the dean, the headmaster of this seminary. And it seems like all of these would-be preacher boys have gathered around Elisha and they want to sit at the feet of the master and learn how to be a prophet of God just like him. And this seminary is growing and growing and growing to the point where they have to build a bigger facility to house all of the students that are coming into the school. And so they get the blueprints together and they identify the trees that need to come down and they go out and the students borrow all of these tools and there they are working together to put up this building so that more young men can be taught the Word of God and learn how to be a preacher. And here's this young man, he's going to town on the tree and gradually the axe head loosens and loosens and loosens until, away it goes, and it falls into the water. And he's like, oh, what has happened? I've lost it, and it didn't even belong to me. I think we've all been in that spot before. Have you lost your edge? You're not as sharp as you once were. You're not as on top of it as you once were. You're not walking with God closely as you once did. You don't have the passion or the joy or the fulfillment that you once had. Well, I think this story tells us how we might reclaim that or how we might get that back. And the first thing that it says is, remember where you lost your edge. That's what we see in the text, right? The axe head comes off and the young man exclaims, oh, I lost it. And the prophet of God comes over and says, show me, where did you lose it? Where did it fall off? Point it out to me. And I think that's the first thing that we need to do in our life. My dad used to say that if you can recall a time in your life when you were closer to God, guess who moved? We need to go back to that place in our mind where our fulfillment left us, our joy left us, our passion left us, our sharpness left us. We need to identify that place, and we need to say, God, forgive me. God, heal that place in my life. I recall hearing a story about a drunkard who was outside of his apartment one night, underneath a street lamp, looking for something. Well, he's looking in the grass, and along comes a police officer, and he says, sir, what are you looking for? And the drunkard says, I'm looking for my key. And so the officer gets down in the grass, and he begins to look for the key to help the man, and they look, and they look, and they look, and they can't find it. And exasperated, the officer says, well, can you remember where you lost it? And the drunkard says, yeah, inside the house. Well, why are you looking out here? And the drunkard says, because it's brighter out here. Look for God where you left him. Identify that spot, that place in your life where you began to drift away and become unaware of what was going on inside of your heart. And then confess that to God and say, God, right there, that's where it happened. At that spot, that's when I lost my effectiveness. That's when I ceased being as sharp as I once was. Remember where you lost your edge. Second, release anything that holds you back. Release anything that holds you back. And a lot of us are like this student, full of passion, full of zeal. Starts out eager, trying to build this seminary so that he can learn and study and grow. And there he is whacking away on this tree, and he's not even aware that the whole time the blade is getting looser and looser and looser. And finally, in a moment of passion, he takes one more swing, and off it flies into the water. And I think that that happens to people. People who are passionate in their relationship with God, passionate about learning and growing, passionate about exterior things. But they're not really paying attention to what's going on in the secret place of their own heart. They're not really even aware that they're just slowly, slowly, imperceptibly drifting away in their heart. There's a scripture that says that there are people who worship God with their lips, but their hearts are far from the Lord. Then there's another group of people who they're just ignorant. And what I mean by that is they have passion and gusto for God. They love God, but frankly, they're not very deep. Their roots haven't gone down deeply into the soil of God's Word. And Jesus says, these people, they're excited at first, but because they have no spiritual roots, because they're not very deep at all, in the time of testing, they fall away. These are individuals who, they have a lot of emotional fervor, but there's no depth. They're ignorant because they really don't know what they believe. They're not sure why they should believe it. They're not in the Scriptures. They don't really know the Scriptures. They're not really aware of what they should be doing. And so there's an ignorance about them that holds them back. But then there's another group of people who they're holding on to stuff, holding on to hurt, holding on to pain, holding on to bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness. Let me just say this to you. Unforgiveness is unlike any other sin. It will sabotage your relationship with God faster than anything else. Someone said that unforgiveness is like poison. It's like drinking poison while you wait for the other person to die. Ugh. Someone else said that he who will not forgive breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass. And so if you're stuck and you can't move forward and you've lost your edge, you need to release whatever is holding you back. There were two monks on a journey. And they came to this river, and this river was swollen and it was rough. And at the riverbank, there was a young, beautiful, ravishing girl there, young lady. And she couldn't get across the river, so she said to the two monks, "Can you help me across?" And they looked at each other in stunned silence because they had taken a vow never to touch a woman. And without discussing anything, suddenly the older monk picks the young lady up, throws her over his shoulder, and across the river they go, and he gets to the other side and he puts her down. Well, the younger monk crosses and he's just perplexed at what has just happened. And so they continue to walk together for an hour. Nothing is said. 2 hours, still silence. 3 hours, the tension is growing and all you can hear is crickets. Finally, they get to the gateway of the monastery and they're about ready to go in. And the younger monk blurts out, "I can't believe what you did back there. You know our vows. We're not even supposed to touch a woman. And yet you picked that woman up and you carried her across the river. How could you?" And the older monk says, "Well, I can't believe you. I put that woman down at the river 3 hours ago. Why are you still carrying her around in your mind?" And yet that's what we do. Oh, we say, "I've forgiven. I've let it go. I've released it." Have you really? Really? Is it still rattling around up there in your mind? And at the opportune time when the mood strikes, you push the button and you replay the tape? Well, my friend, then you really haven't forgiven. Lewis Mead said, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover you were the prisoner." But there's something else. Something else that we need to do if we want to get our edge back. Actually, it's something that we need to undo. Most of the time, spirituality is what we need to undo in our life. And what I'm talking about is, if we want to get our edge back, if we want to get our effectiveness back, if we want to get our passion, our fulfillment, our joy back, our sharpness back, fill in the blank, whatever you want to call it, we need to rest. We need to rest. So the handle flies off, or the blade off the handle, falls into the water. The young man points it out. And then something really strange happens. It's not what I would do, but read the story. The prophet of God cuts a branch off of a tree, and he goes to that place where the blade fell in, and he throws the branch in the water where the blade fell in. And what happens? The blade, the edge, rises to the top and is reclaimed. What in the world does that mean? It's a miracle, right? But it's more than a miracle. Because if you dig around in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, you will read there where Jeremiah says that the coming Messiah, the one we call Christ, is the righteous branch. And the meaning of the text is, in fact, the whole meaning of the story is that when you take Christ and you throw Christ into your mess, into your brokenness, into your disappointment, into your discouragement, into your burnout, when you get Christ involved in that and throw him into that, guess what you get back? You get back your edge. You get back your sharpness. How many of you want to be sharp again? Right? You want to have joy again. Listen, you don't have to live without joy. I don't have to live without joy. We don't have to go through life just slogging it out with no happiness or fulfillment. We can get all of that back, but Christ has to be thrown into the mix. Rest. That's what we're talking about when we talk about rest. It's sort of funny when we talk about the word rest. Most people get in their mind when we talk about rest, inaction or inactivity, right? Oh, I'm going to take a vacation and I'm going to go to the beach and I'm going to lay out on the beach and collect some rays and get all tan. Let me ask you a question. You're out on the beach and you're getting your rest, but on the inside of you there's guilt and animosity and anger and bitterness and resentment and worry. Are you really resting there on the beach? Not according to Scripture. In the Bible, the Hebrew word is Shabbat. I love that word, Shabbat. Rest. Stop. Whatever you're doing that's holding you back, that's keeping you from being sharp, stop it. Our problem is when we get into a bind where we are sort of spinning our wheels and we think we're not getting ahead, what we usually do is put on the gas, push it down harder, right? What we usually do is try harder, put more blood, sweat, and tears into it, and then if I just try harder, then we'll start to make progress again. But you know what we're like when we do that? We're like a rocking chair. A rocking chair is constantly busy, moving back and forth and back and forth. But does it ever make any progress? No. It stays stationary and it keeps moving back and forth. Rest is not having time on the beach or time away from your family. It's not always that. Have you ever noticed you can take a vacation and you get back and you're still tired? Holy smokes, what is that all about? You need a vacation from your vacation. Well, it's because that's not the kind of rest that the Bible is talking about. When the Bible talks about rest, it's talking about a spiritual rest in here. And it's a rest that you have even when you're busy actively serving the Lord. It's a rest that you live with in your life. Because Christ consumes you and empowers you and fuels your activity through the Holy Spirit. There's a young man who is looking for a job on a logging crew. So he goes out one day and he asks the foreman, "Hey, I need a job. Can I work for you?" And the foreman says, "Well, let's see. Let's give you an audition." Hands him an axe, and the young man takes the axe and chop, chop, chop. Down the tree goes. The foreman's impressed. He says, "You're hired." So the young man comes Monday morning. He's there before everyone else. And boy, he's making headway. He's felling trees left and right. And it's this way Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. He's there early. He leaves late. Thursday, the foreman comes out and he says to the man, "You can pick up your check today on the way out." And the young man is blown away by this. Wait, I didn't think we'd get paid till Friday. The foreman says, "Yes, but you've fallen behind, so we don't need you anymore." And the young man's perplexed. "How can that be? I work so hard. I'm here early. I go home late. I get along with all the other workers. I don't even take a lunch break. I work through all of that so I can be more productive. How in the world is it that I've fallen behind? I need the job. Give me another chance." And the foreman's like, "He thinks for a second and he says, Well, let me ask you a question. He says, have you been taking time to sharpen your axe? And the young man just hung his head. You know this. I know this intuitively. But I'll repeat it. We can't just go through life chopping away all the time. Work, 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 work. Try, 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 try. If we don't pull up on a regular basis to recharge our batteries and sharpen ourselves spiritually, you know what happens? We're there chopping away, chopping away, chopping away, and then we fly off the handle. It's exactly what happens. We're like Martha in our gospel lesson, serving God, doing all this stuff, losing our mind, doing what we know to be the right thing to serve God. And then we got our sister over there in the corner just taking it easy, drinking in the goodness of the Lord. And then you know what we start to do when we're all burned out and when we're all, you know what we start to, we start telling God where to get off. Lord, don't you care about all the good stuff I'm doing for you? Tell her to help me, Lord. You know anybody like that? Some of you are laughing because that's you. I've been that way too. Tell them to help me, Lord. What's their problem? And what does Jesus say? He says, one thing lasts forever. He says, Martha, all the stuff you're doing, guess what? All that food, all of that drink, it's going to go in the body and pass out of the body. But what Mary is doing, that lasts forever. Question, where are you putting most of your efforts? Are you putting most of your efforts toward things that will pass away? Or most of your strength, passion, and your efforts toward the things that last forever and ever and ever? Second question, being a reasonable person, where is the best investment of your efforts? Toward the things that last forever and ever and ever. Right? Jesus said, whoever is weary and burdened, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for the sunshine. We thank you for love and mercy and truth. Give us eyes to see that you alone can keep us sharp. That you alone, through the Spirit, give us the strength and the power and the ability to carry out your will. We can't do it on our own. We'll fly off the handle every time. Can't be done without you. So, Lord, help us to plug back into you on this Labor Day weekend and to experience the genuine rest, the Shabbat, that you want for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.